tonight. God has got a good things for us, and I'm just so excited. You know, I was just so stirred. Yeah, I was telling my wife, you know, this week I was getting a couple messages, and I was preparing a couple messages, and then all of a sudden I remembered. I was like, whoa, I have some messages to finish in Corey and Mayville. I didn't finish either message last week, so we're believing to get them finished this week, amen, so I can get into the things that God was dealing with me otherwise for the what's coming up. But I believe that it's all good, and the stuff that I've been ministering on, I know has been a help. It's been a help to me, but I believe it's also a help to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows what we need. Amen. And we are coming into a time where we're going to need this more and more and more. As we get closer to Jesus coming back, things are going to get, is going to sometimes seem like they get darker. There's going to be more opposition. Amen. You know, there's a lot that's going on in the world, but we're not going to be moved by that. We're going to be moved by the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So without further ado, we're going to get into Lead with Joy Part 2. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to go over there to James 1. That's where we started. I'm going to do a little bit of review and then hopefully get into the message. Hopefully I don't spend too much time on the review. If I do, well, just let me know I'm spending too much time on the review and we'll get there. Amen. James 1, 2. Amen. Hallelujah. I love what this section in my Bible, you know, I often say that, but I like what they entitled it. You know, they broke my Bible down in sections and they title it. And so it's not exactly scripture, but it does kind of, when they write these things in there, they do go along with what the scripture says. And so even though it's not specific scripture, we can't call it scripture, we can say it's very scriptural. Amen. But mine says here at the beginning of verse 2, it says, profiting from trials. Hallelujah. Profiting from trials. Amen. Well, I like that. I don't like trials, but I like the fact that I can profit from trials. You know, how you look at a trial makes all the difference in the world. A Christian should not look at the trial the same way the world looks at a trial. The world looks at trials as something they don't want to see. A Christian should look at it knowing that it's something that produces something more in them. It produces something better in them. Amen. It produces in their life. Trials produce in our lives. See, God has tilted the tables. He has leaned kind of, what's the word I'm afraid? He's stacked the cards, amen. He's put everything in our favor. This is what Jesus has done, amen. We profit through trials. We need to know this. We need to understand this. One of the failures of Christianity, if there is a failure in, or I should say a failure in Christianity, not a failure of Christianity, but one of the failures in Christianity is the fact that so often Christians just don't know who they are. They don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know what they've been made. They don't know what God has done in them. And so as a result, they don't know, they really don't know what to expect in life. But we should have expectations of things in life, amen? We should go through life with a certain expectation of God's goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord. James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Amen. Now, when I looked up that word count, I don't know if you remember me saying this, so I'll say it again. But that word count literally means to lead or to rule or command. So we could say it this way, that we can command we can command joy when we fall into trials. Amen. We can lead with joy when we fall into trials. We can tap into joy when we fall into trials. Now, the fact that most people don't has nothing to do with the truth of this statement. The fact that most people don't has nothing to do with the truth of the word that is given to us. Amen. We know that we can because the word tells us we can. If we don't, it's not the word's fault. It's somewhere, it's a disconnect on our fault, or on our part, amen? Now, of course, you know, I've gone on to explain how the Lord has shown me that this, you know, because joy is it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so all the fruits of the Spirit are something that we can and should tap into. They are the power of God. They are the things that have been given us. But we're going to see that even more tonight. We're going to go into more of a direction that way, amen? Praise the Lord. Most people embrace emotions. And most people are embracing false led emotions. Emotions that just feel whatever. That's how most people make decisions. You know, many years ago, I was You know, I was talking to, and I got this in my message later, but I just felt it was good to talk about it now. I was with a pastor friend of mine. I wasn't pastoring yet. This was in the period of time. Actually, this was one of the great attacks of offense in my life that almost got me from not be a pastor. And when I was going through it, I was bothered by some things in the church. I was stirred up, and I was bothered by some things that I perceived were happening. How many know that things you perceive aren't always the truth? Said things that you perceive aren't always the truth. And one of the things the Lord has been dealing with me a lot on is deception. And the number one deception is self-deception. Praise the Lord. The number one deception is self-deception. Amen. Glory to God. What I say to you this morning was, I think, I said something like this. If I, the Lord, I heard this in my spirit, that, what did I say? Yeah, in any argument, if you know that you're right, you're already deceived.
Wow, that's good.
Wow. Yeah, if any argument, you know that you're right, you're already deceived. Why is that? Because Christian has no need to argue. There's no argument. There's no arguing the truth. The truth is the truth. Jesus didn't argue. We're not supposed to argue either. If you're in an argument, you're already deceived. You're already wrong in some area. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that's free, no charge. Hallelujah. It went over like a Led Zeppelin, lead balloon. Amen. Glory. But it got over anyways. We put had maybe rolled it out the back door, but we got on over to you. Amen. But our emotions are a thing that control us, or they can control us. You know, emotions are like dessert. They're good for what they're good for. They're not good for what they're not good for. You can't have sustenance on dessert. You can't stay alive eating dessert. You know, Twinkies, ding-dongs, ho-hos, and the like will not help you grow. Amen. Well, they might help you grow, but not in the way that you want to grow. Amen. Praise the Lord. They won't help you. They won't make you healthier and so on and so forth. In fact, sometimes when we go on a binge, like if we're traveling or something like that, we got to eat a lot of junk food. You know, we're out. You can't get much good food out unless you spend a lot of money. But after a time of doing that, we always feel it. Amen. We got to start eating a little bit better because we're feeling like garbage on the inside. Emotions are the same way. If you are led by emotions, your life will be up and down, up and down, up and down. That's a roller coaster. Emotions are a roller coaster. Why? Because they're fickle. They change with any change of the wind, any movement that happens. That's how your emotions change. That's why the truth is so incredibly important. It's why we have to learn to make decisions not based on emotion, but based in truth. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Embracing emotions will always take you to a place you don't want to go. Amen. Emotions never help. Now, has anyone perfected this? Well, Jesus perfected it. For the rest of us, I think we've had a hard time with it. Amen. But we have to keep these things at the forefront of our mind. We have to remember that deception is something that is coming to try to rob us. And again, you know, it's kind of like pride. A lot of times, if you think that you are above deception, you're already deceived. Already deceived. Amen. And the worst kind of deception is self-deception. It is not what the devil brings you, because what the devil brings, he can't really do anything but make suggestions. And suggestions, well, a lot of time, his suggestions will stir your emotions. How many know when the devil wants to stir your emotions, he's not going to bring you things that make you feel good? Right. Amen. Right. Glory to God. And you know whether or not it lines up with the word. How do you know? Because you come to me and you say, hey, Pastor Jeff, this what's happening in my life doesn't line up with the word. And what I should say to you at that point is, guess what? Get out of your emotions. Because the word's the truth. If you don't believe the word is the truth, then we got to go back to the beginning. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this is just review. Amen. Galatians 5:16 in the Amplified said, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. That's what it is to walk and live in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Listen to this. I love this line. Every time I've read it, it just stops me and I have to reread it. Responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Yeah. Why does it tell us to do this? Because we have a choice. We decide to walk and live responding to the Holy Spirit, or if you do the other thing, you walk and live and respond to your emotions, to the thoughts, to the ideas the devil... See, this is why people stay sometimes in perpetual sadness. I actually saw it like this. I was seeing it this afternoon, like a, you know, a slippery slope. You know, like depression is a slippery slope. You know, you're climbing to it, you're trying to get to the top, but what happens is you keep sliding back to the thing because you keep going back to what, you keep getting drawn back to what the depression is. Now, how many know that the Word of God is a lifeline and it can pull us out of that, but we have to stay focused on where we're going, not where we were, not what's come behind us. How many know that you can't stop anything that has already happened? Yeah. Amen. You can't stop. It is an impossibility to change anything in the past. God isn't going to rearrange time for you. He isn't going to take you back to fix it. He'll let you learn from it, but he isn't going to. You can't change anything that happened up until now. Up until now. Up until now. Up until. Nothing can be changed. Amen. So if you're holding on to something that came up until now, you can't change it. So all you're doing by dwelling on it is sliding back down into the mess. Amen. And that's what the emotions that are attacked from the devil that he stirs you on, that's what he's trying to do, is to keep you from going forward. What keeps us from going forward? Sliding down the wrong slope. We need to keep pressing forward to Jesus. Amen. Walk and live responsive to and controlled by. You notice it says responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. That should be the thing that we are responding to. But when we have trial in life, when we have things come against us, what do we respond to? We respond to the thing that happened. The thing that already happened that can't be changed. Listen, even if you did the worst thing you could possibly do, you can't go back and change it. You can't. You might be able to cover it up for a little while, but you can't change it. So whatever happened before, there's no point in responding to it because it already happened. I said it already happened. So if you're trying to respond to something that happened to before, you're like a dog chasing their tail. Yeah. You ever seen a dog? We all laugh at a dog chasing its tail. Why? Because it's foolish. But that's what Christians are doing. They're chasing their tail. The devil says, hey, remember this? And you're like, oh, yeah. They're not getting anywhere because they're going around in circles. See, you don't respond to the things that have happened because the things that have happened to you don't really matter. Yeah. I said they don't really matter. Yeah. Let me say this. If something really bad happened to you, there's going to be a tendency to focus on it, right? Now, if something really bad has happened to you, is that where you want to stay? Because you didn't like that, right? It was bad, so you didn't like it. Right? Is there anybody in here that likes when bad stuff happens to them? Right? But it already happened. So if you're going to stay focused on that, guess where you stay? Right there with that bad thing. There is no change in the past because the past cannot be changed. I'm preaching real good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, way better than your amen. But it's the truth. It is the absolute truth. It'll set us free. It's setting me free right now. Amen. I'm so thankful that all I got is a future. I don't got a past. Do you know the Bible says that when we ask for forgiveness from our sins, that the Lord casts them as far as east is from the west? I don't know which way that is, but it's far. That he remembers them no more. And if God, the judge of everything, does not remember our sins, then why should we? Or the trials, why should we? Why should we stay there? Do you know, years ago, I was in a car accident. When I was 18 years old, I was in a car accident. My best friend was killed in the car accident. And I was the one driving. And for years, I carried that with me. For years, I made the day a Jeffrey holiday. And I would take that day once a year, and I would just sit there and soak in my, wallow in my sorrow and my self-pity, and I was sad, and I would get sad, and I would play songs that reminded me of the day and him and stuff like that. But guess what? I couldn't change any of that. Certainly I could have if I had known ahead of time, but I didn't know ahead of time, and so I can't go back and change it. But do you know that for years that kept me from going forward? Until one day I realized, yeah, like 20 years. Until one day I realized that what happened didn't matter. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he didn't matter or that his death didn't matter. But me not living my life doesn't make his death any better. But me living a life that honors the God, honors the Lord, would make both of our lives meaningful. It would make that whole situation meaningful. See, we have a choice of how we go forward, amen? Well, I certainly didn't plan any of this, but this is where we're at, amen? Now, I said this last week, too. The problem with many Christians is they don't hate sin, but they embrace it. Yeah. They try to look for a way to justify it. They don't learn to hate it. We got to learn to hate sin. Until you are willing to look at all sin and see it as sin and hate it, you will not be spiritual. Now, of course, the reason I bring this up is because in Galatians 5 here, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, but also right before that, it talks about the fruits of the flesh. It talks about the things that we do in the flesh and the bad things that they do, which are all sin. Amen? And so we have to learn to hate those things. Glory to God. Go ahead and turn with me to Galatians 5:18. There was something I wanted to bring out here. Praise God, hallelujah. We're getting our help we need. Galatians 5:18. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Praise the Lord. If you are led by the Spirit, you aren't under the law. You aren't under rules and regulations. See, so often we're conforming ourselves to some kind of idealized, you know, rules and regulations and wondering why we're never making the mark. See, if you're led by the Spirit, if you're led by the fruits of the Spirit, glory to God, then you're not under the law. But if that's the truth, the reverse of this would also be the truth, wouldn't it? Yeah. Amen. And what's the reverse of this? If you're not led by the Spirit, but you're led by the flesh, then you are under condemnation. Remember, the law brings us to condemnation. See, we want to get to a place where we're not feeling condemned or out of condemnation. You can't get there by following the flesh. And so even a good-hearted Christian who refuses joy is living according to the flesh. You say, but joy is what I want. Then joy is what you need to take. But there's a way to take it, and the way that you're trying to take it isn't taking it. See, you're waiting for joy to enter your life. It is never going to enter your life because joy is already on the inside of you. Peace is never going to enter your life because peace is already on the inside of you. Am I talking to Christians here? Yeah. Amen. People who are born again, blood bought by Jesus, given the Holy Spirit. All the fruits of the Spirit, they aren't your fruits. Remember I said that? They aren't your fruits, they're His fruits. I love that He's been put inside of us with His fruit, not our fruit. Amen. Well, because your fruit isn't any good. I ain't buying your fruit. Amen. You shouldn't buy your fruit either. Throw it out. Praise the Lord. All it's good for is fertilizer. Your fruit was no good. How do we know that? Because if it wasn't, you wouldn't have needed Jesus. And every human that walks the earth but Jesus needed Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you're not, your fruit is no good, your natural fruit, the ideas that you're going to come up with and the things that you're going to make happen and all this stuff, it's no good. It isn't going to help you. What you need is to be set free, and you're set free not by you, but you're set free by Him. Yeah. We need to walk a new path, a new life. And until we decide that we're going to walk that new path, oh, praise the Lord, glory to God. I don't know about you. I just stirred something, got in my Wheaties this morning. Praise the Lord, because I'm just like, man, I just, praise God, hallelujah. God's got good things for us. Amen. And they're found in the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, self-control. All these things are on the inside of us. They're already there. But just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, can you see your liver? But you probably got one. Lori, can anyone live without a liver? If I just come out and take out someone's liver, are they going to live very long? Nope. She's a doctor. She knows. Praise the Lord. Can anyone live without a heart? You can't see it, but you know it's there. Amen. Can't live without your lungs, but they're there. Can't live without blood. We hopefully aren't seeing it right now. Amen. Glory to God. So you can't see this stuff, but it's there. No, the Holy Spirit is no different. You can't see Him, but He's there. You can't see the fruit, but it's there. And how do you know it's there? Because the Bible says it's there. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Yeah. Amen. Let's just look at it because we're right there in that section. Just in case you didn't believe me. But the fruit of the Spirit is. It is. Yeah. Is in present tense. Not the fruit of the Spirit was. Not the fruit of the Spirit will be. But the fruit of the Spirit is. That means the fruit of the Spirit is. It exists now in current time. Whatever current time is, it's right now. That's what it is. The fruit of the Spirit is. What does it say it is? Verse 22. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I forgot that one. Gentleness. Forgot that one too. Self-control. Praise God. The fruit of the Spirit are those things. They're on the inside of you, just waiting to be tapped into. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like fancy soap. Do you know that? I like fancy soap. My wife knows that. We ran out of our fancy soap. We got to go get some more. But I like fancy soap. And one time we went to the store. There's this one place. We can't get it right around where we are, really. So we get it when we go to Buffalo. And we haven't been up to Buffalo in a while. And so we haven't got any fancy soap. We kind of ran out. But when I go up there, I like to stock up on the fancy soaps. And when I mean fancy soaps, I just like, you know, they're like the, and they actually feel better. I mean, they don't make my skin itch. They're all natural. That's what I mean by fancy soap. And they smell like something like, you know, grapefruit and, you know, platypus or something like that. And they put things together and they make fancy soaps. And so that's the kind of soap I like to use, and I like to smell it when I'm using it, citrus and different things, you know. And so, usually I was just buying like a bar or two at a time. The last time we went, we bought like 5-6 bars or something like that. So we had a bunch of bars, and I bought different flavors of it. You know what I mean? And I like to call it flavors. I know I don't eat it, but I tell you, some of them I want to. Praise the Lord. But at any rate, so when I get one, my wife always, she always surprises me, like by putting one, like when mine's getting close to the end, one's getting close to the end, she puts the new one in the shower. And so I'm always excited to see, but I always can't wait to get into the next one. You know what I mean? When I haven't got into, what's the next one I have? How many know how dismayed I was the day I got in there and there was just a bar of regular soap? Like, what's this garbage? I use fancy soaps. I don't use this store-bought stuff. Praise, it's just, you know, that's a joke. I can use the store-bought stuff, too. I was glad there was soap, amen. I would be a lot more dismayed if there was no soap, amen. Then I'd just be getting wet. I wouldn't be getting clean. But at any rate, fancy soaps. I couldn't wait to get into the next one. This is how we should view the fruits of the Spirit, amen. I can't wait to get into the next one. What's the next one offer me? Well, do you understand? All the power of God is found in the fruits of the Spirit. That's where it's all found. You know, if you continue to reading in James there, it talks about how trial produces in you patience, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, produces, amen, in your life. It produces good things in your life, amen? And this is all just kind of review, right? Praise the Lord. But back to Galatians 5:18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The comparison of being led by the Spirit there's a comparison done here between being led by the Spirit and led by the flesh. Led by the Spirit means led by the fruits of the Spirit. These things are already in us. Just as the longing for sin is, We've been given the Spirit to create a new longing on the inside of us. See, your body, your flesh is naturally going to always go towards sin. That's what it's going to desire. That's what it's going to crave. When you crave it, what you're doing is you're dealing with the flesh. You're partaking of the flesh. But God knew that and understood that. He wasn't going to give us a new body, but He did give us a new spirit. And when He put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, He gave us the ability to long and crave for something else. You know, the Bible says, again, to count it all joy. But I believe honestly that we can count it all peace. Yeah. We can lead by peace. Yeah. Just because it doesn't say it there. Why? Because it is referring to a fruit of the Spirit. And all the fruits of the Spirit come from the same place. Amen. They come from the Spirit who is on the inside of us. They're not coming somewhere else. Right. See, when people get frustrated because they don't have joy operating in their life, it's because they're not having joy from external circumstances. Yeah. See, if you're somebody who is desiring for things to be such a way, if that's the only way you're going to be happy, you're looking for external circumstances to make you joy. Yeah. It's not going to happen. Right. How many know that life is not going to just hand you joy? Yeah. Right. If we have anybody here that's over 3, life isn't just going to give you joy. It's not just going to give you peace. In fact, sometimes it's going to fight you all the way home, amen? It is going to be after you to try to rob those things from you. Why? Because that's what an unrenewed mind, that's what life without God, that's what it did. It produced death in humanity, right? So why do we expect it to produce anything else? But see, you're looking for joy from external sources. Well, if I just make enough money, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. Because if you don't get true joy, if you don't understand the true place where joy comes from, $1 million isn't going to make you any happier. A million wives wouldn't make you any happier. A million husbands wouldn't make you any happier. You can think that it's going to change every time. If I get the next house or the next this or the next that, none of that stuff is going to give you true joy. It won't be found there. It won't give you the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit have been placed in us. Amen. And the comparison is walking according to the flesh or walking according to the Spirit. If there has been given to us a comparison in Scripture, it's because we have the ability to choose. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We talked about the spiritual litmus test. I'm still doing a review, but it's good. There's been new stuff too. We can tell how spiritual we are by whether or not the fruits of the Spirit are surfacing in our lives. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I didn't get into my story, did I? I started telling you a story about my friend, that pastor friend of mine. I don't know how I got distracted, but I did. But I'll continue it now. Because that's where I have on my notes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now is a good time. So you just do it right in the right time anyways. Amen. Glory to God. So I was talking about a tainted leading. I was struggling with some things that the church was doing and some things I was perceiving that were wrong. Yeah. Amen. Now, I was just perceiving them, but I didn't know. I didn't have knowledge or anything like that, but I was perceiving things, and I was being led by my emotions. And I said to this pastor friend of mine, and he was with me for quite some time and put up with me for quite a while, but I said to him, I said, I don't have peace about this. And the Bible says that I have to be led by peace. And he looked at me, and he said something. He said, yes, but your peace is corrupted by your offense. Ooh, he opened a door I had never knew was closed before to me. I all of a sudden, I understood something. See, people will say, I have peace about this. But if their peace is corrupted by the flesh, that peace is a lie. Wow. You know, my wife and I, we're going to get into this. We're going to get into this in a minute. It's going to be real good. I can't wait till we get there, but. Your peace can be, or your leading can be corrupted by the flesh. If you're embracing sin, and this is why I said earlier, I started the message by saying that the worst kind of deception is self-deception. Because self-deception, you embrace. Because self-deception, it's got to be true because you're thinking it. You ever have that thought? Have you ever noticed that when you have an opinion on something that you're never wrong? Do you know what I'm saying? Come on, like this is where we all live. But when you look at something, you're like, yeah, that's a bunch of garbage or whatever. You have an opinion about something. You're never wrong. Why is that? Because it's you thinking it. Yeah. Amen. But is that an accurate assessment of things? Absolutely not. You have to put things against a higher nature than yourself. Because your nature, I have seen this so many times. And like I was, praise the Lord. I was raised around people. We'll just say it that way. I was raised around people that were very sure that they were always right. And when I mean raised around people, I knew people growing up, and I remember seeing these things, you know, throughout my life. People that were really sure that they were right. When outside people would look at it, they would say, nah, maybe not, but these people were so bold it didn't really matter. And so I remember kind of having and taking that upon myself. And then I remember one day when I was standing before a judge in court. And I was looking at this judge, and I was sure that what I was thinking was right. And he assured me that the way that I was thinking was not right. I learned something that day, that not everything I think is right is right. And everything that I think is going to be is going to be. Because there's a higher authority sometimes, all the time. Praise the Lord. And so I have to appeal to it. Well, how many know that I got my thinking in line pretty quick? Why? Because I didn't want to find out what else I didn't know wasn't true. Amen. I wanted to just, you know, yield to that and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Do I have that in here? I don't think I was going to go there. Oh, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe it's tomorrow's message. I don't know, but I'm going to talk about it now because it just seems to fit. Praise the Lord. Tainted labor. Well, let's just keep going. If it comes back, I'll get there. Amen. Turn with me to Romans, and then this starts the new message. Amen. But before we go there, I just want to remind you of the last thing that I said before we quit last week. If we have no joy, then that's our new focus. We know what we have to focus on. The fruit of the Spirit. Amen. How are the fruits surfacing in our life? We need to food. But when I say focus on joy, you can't focus on what you think is going to make you joyful.
Right.
You can't focus on that. You have to focus on the Word. Yeah. You have to yield yourself and submit yourself to the Word.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Romans 8, praise God, verse 1. Praise Jesus. It says here in verse 1, Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In the Spirit, there is no condemnation. If you do things according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. You don't have to ask if it's right or wrong, because if it's done by the Spirit, what's the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit. How do you weigh that? How do you measure that? You measure it by the fruits of the Spirit. Your flesh is always going to try to corrupt you. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
In that corruption, there's always going to be condemnation. There's always going to be bondage. But if we walk and live according to the Spirit, the dictates of our life, according to what the Holy Spirit shows us, according to the fruits of the Holy Spirit, there is no condemnation in those things. Amen. Condemnation comes when you agree with the flesh or people and then freely choose it. This is where deception often comes in. Something happens, you make a decision according to the flesh. The natural discourse of humanity. The things that you would choose, somebody makes you mad, you respond in kind. That's responding in the flesh, not according to the Spirit. We need to make our decisions based on the Holy Spirit, not based on our flesh. If we do so, there's no condemnation in that. We know that we can make right decisions, and we know those decisions can be blessed and will be blessed. Praise the Lord. We cannot, however, know that by doing so in the flesh. But it also comes by listening to people. Sometimes people are going to say things. This is why I know the Lord has led me away from listening to the news. I honestly have almost, like, I think I've checked it twice in about a month, which I used to check the news several times a day, every day.
Yeah.
Amen? So you can see where the difference is. And I've noticed the difference that it makes in my life, and I'm going to explain to you why. And this, I believe, is going to help somebody. Because I look at the news, it's all truth. Well, you know, it's not truth, but you know what I mean? It's at least some kind of corrupted truth, right? So you look at what's happening in the world, and I would try to look at reliable sources and get an idea of what's going on. But let's just face it, it wasn't very happy.
Yeah.
Wasn't very good. In fact, the outcome didn't look good for any of us. Amen? But I found myself, as I kept focusing on this stuff, that I would focus my life on that stuff, the things that were wrong. And then what would happen? I would start making decisions accordingly. Well, I got to do this, or I got to do that, or I got to buy this, or I got to buy that, or I got to stay away from here, or stay away. See, all of that stuff is that's just dictates of the flesh. That's just my flesh making all the decisions. That's not by the Spirit.
Yeah.
You'll never be blessed following the flesh.
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
It will never bless you. The flesh, it may give you joy for a minute, but it's never going to bless you. You know, walking according to the flesh or in opposite of the Spirit, the opposite things of the Spirit, walking according to the emotions, doing things according to our emotions are only going to bring us into a place of darker living, worse emotions. Amen? Condemnation comes when you agree with the flesh. When you agree with, and this is where I've seen a lot of self-deception, even and especially in myself. When I would make certain decisions, and I was like, but this, I knew this was right. Well, I knew it in my flesh. I didn't know it according to the Spirit. I didn't pit it against the Word of God. I didn't weigh it out. I didn't consider these things. Sometimes I just made rash decisions based on how I felt in the moment. And what was that? The flesh. and it never produced the fruits of the Spirit. Listen, true joy is not found anywhere but in the Spirit. Now, people can experience happiness in life, but they can't experience true joy. True peace is only found in the Spirit. It is not found in the flesh. If it was found in the flesh, the Bible would tell us it could be found in the flesh, but it tells us just the opposite, that it is found in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just a little one saying hi. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. I love it. I love the little ones. Glory to God. Glory to God. Little ones are a great example of the flesh. They're a great example. I want what I want. You know how many people never grow out of the little one stage, really? I mean, honestly, how many adults here can sit here and say, yeah, I think about what I want all the time. I want what I want. I want it my way. I want it the way it feels right to me. I want it the way I like it. I want it the way it tastes good. I want it the way it smells good. I want it the way that I think it smells good. I want it the color that I want it. All these things are, we can learn a lot from them. Don't act like them, amen? We're supposed to act differently, but see, here's the thing. We don't. Now, the world acts that way. But spiritual children should not act that way. The children of God should not act that way. If you want God producing in your life, you can't get it by acting the way of the flesh, by embracing the flesh and doing what that wants. And what is the flesh? It is the opposite of the things that are found in the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot find true joy outside of the Spirit. You cannot find true love outside of the Spirit. That's why all these people saying love is love and stuff like that, they have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what love is. They know what passion is. They know what desire is. They know what longing is. They may have certain feelings of love because everybody can experience it to a degree, but you can't have the fullness of what these things produce. How do we know that? Because true love, the Bible tells us, never fails. You might say, well, I won't believe that. Well, you're in the wrong place then. Because that's what the Bible says. We're here to teach the Bible, amen? We're not here to teach the world's ways. Do you know how many churches are teaching the world's ways? Yeah, I mean, it's unreal. I hear pastors all the time teaching the world's ways. You embrace the flesh, or you feel this way, so you do this, or you make this decision. Praise the Lord. Anybody who's come out of a past of denominationalism will know exactly what I'm talking about. People aren't making spiritual choices in churches. They're making choices according to the flesh, and they're wondering why they're not blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are blessed because we follow the Spirit, not the flesh. But if you follow the flesh, the end is death. The end is destruction. No matter what you think you're gaining in the moment, it will not last. And this is what the world needs to be convinced of. This is what Christians need to be convinced of. We need to see that our flesh, or our happiness, our joy, the things that we experience in life, they do not have to be controlled and manipulated by the things of the world. And if you're moved by the same thing that an unbeliever is moved by, then you are no different than they are. The Bible has called us to be different. Jesus did not save us so we would stay the same. He saved us so we would be different. But why does the church live just like the world does? Because all they want to do is embrace the flesh. And as long as you embrace the flesh, you will have the things the flesh gives you. Death and destruction come from the flesh. That's all that's there. That's all that's there. I'm talking about being led by the flesh. I'm not talking about experiencing the flesh. But I'm talking about living by the flesh. Making your decisions by the flesh. How many know, you know, we're supposed to understand this when we're adults. But a lot of adults don't understand this either. Children in school. Why do we have adults around children in school? Because we know that children in school cannot make good decisions. Why do we have to have, why do we have an adult age or this idea of, you know, you can't babysit when you're 3 years old? You can't be a babysitter. So why? Because you can't make good decisions. As adults, we should expect that we should make better decisions. However, we see in the world that even worldly adults are not making better decisions. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Christian adults are making poor decisions. Why? Because they're embracing the flesh. I'm mad, so I'm going to respond in kind. I'm sad, so I'm going to respond in kind. I'm depressed, so I'm going to respond in kind. We don't respond according to the Word. And that's why we don't have the things the Word produces. Because what we are doing is we are rejecting the Spirit, saying, we're essentially saying that it's not true. When you say that joy does not exist in you or does not, you know, it's not there for you. Yeah, I'm not saying you're not, like if you say, okay, I'm not happy right now, that doesn't mean that you're denying Jesus in joy and stuff like that. You're just saying in the moment you aren't happy. I get that. But we understand that not every decision in life is going to lead to pure happiness, right? Yeah. Adults understand that sometimes you have to do things there where there's no joy in it. Has anyone gone to work recently?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Right? If you go to work, even if you like your job, there's certainly days where you're going to go to work and be like, this is not bringing me joy. But you go anyways because you know at the end there's no paycheck. Why can we go to work? Why can we tough through work, but we can't tough through opposition? It's no different. It is no different. All it is your flesh telling you you can't do it or you don't want to do it or you don't want it or whatever. But an adult knows you got to go to work if you're going to eat. Except for if you live in the United States in this current society, which is trying to teach people, well, guess what? You don't have to work. Just sit home and we'll pay you. Guess what? Flesh. That's flesh. The Bible tells us you don't work, you don't eat. So guess what? If you don't work, you don't eat. God isn't blessing the work of hands that are being lazy. And if you don't work, you're being lazy. If you're not doing something to produce, if you're not doing something to add to life, if you're not doing something to increase, you're not laboring. We heard an awesome message by Billy Graham. I loved it. It wasn't even a message, really. He was on, what was the show? Johnny Carson. What was that show? The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And it was really awesome to watch him on there because he was responding. He was talking about Jesus, all this stuff. But he said, some people think that when we die and go to heaven, that we're just going to be floating around on clouds somewhere, but that ain't the case. He said, we're going to work. There's going to be things for us to do. That's the way God designed work. It's not a four-letter word. I mean, it is technically, but it's not a swear word, four-letter word. Work is good. Work produces. He will bless the work of your hands. Why does he require your hands to work? Why did Paul labored for the things of the gospel? Not just in the gospel, but he also was a tent maker. He also supplied part of that. Now, the Bible does say that if you live on the gospel, or if you preach the gospel, you should live by the gospel. In other words, the if you preach the gospel, that the gospel should provide your life, your livelihood for you, which is a truth. But even so, even though that it provides part of our livelihood, a very small, minute part, the truth of the matter is we labor for our own. We don't. I don't just get paid for the church. I've used this example. I always pick on Pastor Scott when he comes to church, when I have a minister here, because we pay him. If we have somebody come in, we pay them. Amen? Yeah. But I always told him, I always joke with him. I said, you've officially made more than I have in Corey, because I've never made a dime for being here. Amen? We don't get paid to be here. We just come because it's what part of the plan of God. Amen? Now, don't feel bad for me. I'm not saying that God doesn't supply me and stuff like that. He has brought supply into our lives, but we labor for the supply. You have to labor. But, a child would sit there, I don't want to go to work. I loved it. I remember when Mark first got his first, I remember when he got his first full-time job. It was hilarious. You know, he was Mark was a good kid, you know, and all that stuff, and he was, you know, he was athletic and stuff like that, so he wasn't like he was just a weakling or anything like that. But when he came home from his first 40-hour week, he was dragging. I mean, I think he fell asleep on the sidewalk coming up to the house. Like, he didn't even make it. He fell up the stairs. Yeah, he didn't even make it into the house. Why was he just wasn't used to that kind of work? And so 40 hours seemed like, but now he does it all the time. Right? You do work. Yeah. Right? So look, yeah. Just making sure. I mean, I'm not with him all the time. I don't know. I'm assuming he works full time. He works full time, right? Yeah. She works full time too. Amen. And so we understand that. Like, so you have to, he understands that there's labor. If he wants things in life, he's going to have to labor for them and so on and so forth. Well, what is it? That's a sign of maturity, getting a place that you understand, well, wait a minute. You know, you can't play every day. It's not what you can do. There's labor involved in it. Well, praise God. I ain't planning on getting on all that. I don't know how we got there, but we did. Amen. Praise the Lord. For the law of the, verse 2, we're in Romans chapter 8 still. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The requirements of the law are fulfilled in us who don't walk according to the dictates of the flesh, but walk controlled, right? Yielded to, guided by, right? The Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. When you walk according to the fruits of the Spirit, when you live according to the fruits of the Spirit, you fulfill the law. That means there's no condemnation. But a Christian that doesn't do so is in full condemnation. Anybody who does so is in full condemnation. Why? Because the only way to put it down is by the Spirit. Amen. See, Jesus did the work. He opened the door so the Holy Spirit could come live on the inside of us, but there was still a walking out that we have to do. See, this is a Christianity that isn't taught so often. So I'll just come on in. You just all come on in, get saved, and it's all done. But that's not the truth of the Word. The Word never teaches us that. In fact, the Bible teaches us over and over that we are saved for works, good works. The Bible talks about the good that we do. One of my favorite scriptures in Psalm 37, it says, do good. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It tells us to do good. Yeah. Right? What does it say there? Psalm 37? Let me go there real quick. You stay right where you're at. I'll go there for us. You can look it up later. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. That idea of dwelling in the land and feeding on His faithfulness does not just mean just live there, just kick back, pick up a hammock and live there. That's not what that's talking about. When it means to dwell in the land, it means to live in the land. How do you live in the land? Well, the things that you do in the land are living in the land. When you labor in the land, when you mow your lawn, you're living in the land. When you fix your house or fix your roof, you're living in the land. You're dwelling there. You're doing work. See, there's labor involved. The Bible says to do good works. That's what we're saved for. We're not saved to just sit on our duff, and collect some kind of godly social security, sit back and do nothing. That's not what life is all about. But so many Christians, they think along that lines. They think, well, you know, that's good for pastors to do the work of the ministry, but what am I really to do? You are to do the work of the ministry. You have been saved and kept here for a purpose, and that purpose isn't just so you can build your kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. But until we understand that, we're not going to do it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds, and this is how we do it. Of course, this is exactly what Galatians is telling us too. I just love how God connected these scriptures, Romans, Galatians, and they're saying the same thing. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? What produces love? What produces joy? What produces peace? What produces all the fruits of the Spirit? What produces these things? We need to be acquainted with these things. If there's no peace involved in it, then I should have nothing, no involvement in it. If there's no true joy, if there's no godly joy, now you can, again, you say, well, this is joy. This brings me joy. That's not the joy that we're talking about. Remember, that joy is fickle. It'll be there, it won't be there. Godly joy is found in another place. Amen? Praise the Lord. What produces these things? That's what it is. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are of the flesh cannot please God. If you're walking in the flesh, you can't please God. I want you to think about this. In all the Christianity that you've known, and all the Christians that you've known, and I'm not talking to you to just look into someone else's life and try to pass judgment on someone else, but in Christians you've known, how many of them do you truly believe are being led by the Spirit? By the dictates of the Spirit. You know full well they're making decisions according to the flesh. When you get angry with your brother and sister, what are you doing? Flesh. When you start hating, what is it? Flesh. When you get jealous of your brother or sister, flesh.
Right.
What does any of that have anything to do with you? See, this is the thing that we have to learn. That if God is for me, who can be against me? Doesn't the Bible say that? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for me, who can be against me? Therefore, it doesn't matter what they have. Do you realize this? You know what's become of testimony? Testimony has become a thing that brings sadness into other Christians' life. Yeah. Somebody gets up and testifies about the great things that God's doing in their life, and somebody's saying, well, I don't have that in my life. Instead of rejoicing. Do you realize that testimony is not to tell you how God is going to do something in your life? Testimony is to remind us that God does it in everybody's life. And if testimony is to remind us that God does it in everybody's life, then it doesn't. You're not to look at someone else's testimony and say, okay, great, that's how it's going to happen for me. No, that's stupidity. Because God ain't going to do it that way. Praise the Lord. Do you know, I was praying today. I had to run and get some coffee for the church and for the for us, and I was going to get it, and I was praying as I was going. And I was, and God has been dealing with me on some specific things, and for my own life, some certain things. And the question arose in my mind as I was praying, like, how would these things come to pass? Because God has tied my hands in some areas to allow them not to. And in my spirit, all of a sudden I heard, which I believe was the voice of the Lord, I heard him speak to me and tell me that he is going to bring these things and manifest these things in my life in ways that I can't see. In other ways that I can't surmise. And it blessed me because all of a sudden I realized I can try to figure it out, but I ain't gonna. Because if I figure it out, if I figured it out and I was pretty sure that was the way, he'd bring it in a different way anyway. Why? Because God doesn't want to be awed with my, he doesn't want me to be awed with my intelligence. He wants me to be awed with him. And so he's going to make it happen in ways that he can't. Does that apply to everybody? Well, certainly it does. Anybody who's being led by the Spirit, not the flesh. Amen. Glory to God. Where were we? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body, you will live. Glory to God. You know, we often quote that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, so often we talk about being Spirit-led, and people mention being Spirit-led. They're like, oh, you know, I was led by the Spirit this, and I was led by the Spirit to do this. And a lot of times when people say that to me, I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know. It just doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right what they're talking about. I was led by the Spirit to do this. You know, it's interesting that the Spirit always leads people in things, but the things that it's leading people in is never the fruits of the Spirit. If you don't master getting led first in the fruits of the Spirit, I doubt very highly God's going to give you higher assignments, bigger assignments. Oh, go do this and go start this and go make this of your life, but you can't even find peace or joy. You can't even find long suffering. You can't even find it love for someone else. You can't even find it in yourself to be gentle, and yet God is leading you in all these bigger things. Yeah, don't think so. In fact, one of the things I've learned that even if God leads us into things that are bigger than us, he puts us in a place where things have to get worked out of us. Do you know that? I love people, you know, We used to have this, I kind of call it an issue, man, I got to quit here, but we kind of call it an issue. You know, a lot of times in our circles, people are prophesying this and prophesying that, and they're prophesying over someone's life. You got a calling of God on your life, and you got to go do this. That's great. People get excited about that. But here's the thing they never get excited for. Do you know there's going to be opposition to make sure that that's proven, if it's true? If there's truly a calling in your life, it's going to get proven. And that proving is not going to feel good. It's going to test your flesh, and it's going to test your flesh right to the hilt. And it's not just going to do it for a day. It's not just going to do it for a week. It's not just going to do it for months. It'll do it over and over and over, years. And then when you think you finally got it, guess what it's going to do? It's going to raise up, and it's going to do it again, because your sincerity, your faithfulness will always be tested. It's going to be tried by fire. Why? Because God needs that to be pure before he can do anything in you. People want this great revival that everyone talks about. They want these massive healings. Do you realize that in the early church, when they were seeing all these amazing miracles, raising from the dead and all this stuff, do you realize that if a person lied then, that they could be struck dead instantly from lying? How many Christians just spend their lives lying and don't ever think anything of it? And they think the power of God's going to flow in their life? Ain't going to flow like that. See, where there's great power, and I'm going to quote Spider-Man, there's great responsibility. But I think Jesus said something along that lines too. At least it's in there, I believe. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's the truth. Yeah, too much is given, much is required. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so you'll be tested. We're going to close here with this thought. If you are fighting the devil, you are fighting the wrong fight. There is no devil to fight. There is a devil, and he will bring opposition, but your fight is never against the devil. It's not against the devil. The fight generally is against yourself. Paul said to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? I think that's what we're going to read here. 1 Timothy 6:11 and 12, let's just bring it up. Can you just pop it up on the screen instead of turning to it? But you, O man or woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. What do those sound like? Fruits of the Spirit. There they are again. Amen. Sounds like somebody knew what they were doing when they wrote this book. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called, and confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I want to say this about laying hold of eternal life. It says to lay hold of it. Doesn't mean die and go to heaven. Eternal life starts when you're born again. Lay hold of that life. That is what we're called to do. The life of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is that eternal life and the things that are included with that. Praise the Lord. The law of it was back there in Romans 8, where was it? Can't find it. I'm just not seeing it right now. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Praise the Lord. We have to live according to a different, on a different plane, according to different principles. And those principles are the fruits of the Spirit. With that, I think I have finished the message. Praise the Lord. And so we're thankful for God for all that he's given us. Amen. We live according to the Spirit, and we live. We live the life. And it's not just living, but it's living the life that God has determined for us to live. That's how you lay hold of eternal life, the fruits of the Spirit. Amen.